Good morning. My name is Mel Choir. I am a magi, a student of the stars. You know, when I was a child, I was a very curious child. I was always asking questions, you know, wanting to know why things are the way they are. In my youth, I began a quest for meaning and truth. I look at the world, and particularly the stars, and I think there must be a great God who made everything. You know, my people, we have many gods. Gods for protection and gods for fertility and for all kinds of things. But I think there must be something, you know, someone greater than all these gods. I wonder if there is such a God and what he's like. Well, he must be good because there's such beauty in the world, particularly in the sky. I wonder, if there is such a God, does he care about us? Will he reveal himself to us? How may I know? So for years, I've been on this quest for truth. Like, who made all this? What does it mean? You know, I search the sky for answers. Some stars, well, they're seen with predictability. They follow a consistent pattern. There's other objects that appear only occasionally. Magi have been studying the sky for generations. It's a fascinating line of work. We believe the stars possess secret wisdom which reveal important events that happen on Earth. Several months ago, a new star appeared. It wasn't in any of our previous records. My friends and I, we wondered, well, what this star could be, and what is its meaning? So we searched astrological records and religious writings. For a long time, we found nothing. It was such a bright star, yet it seemed that it had never been seen before. We were just baffled. Then we came across some Jewish writings. Now, I should point out that 700 years ago, we conquered the land of Judah. Many Jews, especially their strongest and their best, we brought to Babylon. They were made to serve us as slaves. We utilized some, those with the brightest minds, to serve as scholars and leaders. We made them work for our administration. While they did so, they also kept many of their own writings. They were a very religious people. They believed in only one God, a creator who rules over all creation. So from those exile records, we discovered there were Jewish prophecies of a coming king, a Messiah, a savior. Well, the star was in the direction of Judah. Could this star point to a Jewish king? We observed the star night after night. So we held meetings. The smartest magi attended. After much discernment, we concluded that the star must be a sign to announce the coming of the Jewish king. Imagine an event so significant that a star appears to herald its coming. This must be no ordinary king. Surely his birth must be a grand event, announced with great pomp and ceremony. we decided that we would set out on a journey on a hope that we could meet this king. Well, travel to Judah was a big undertaking. The distance would be physically demanding, with dangers from the elements and possibly also from thieves. So some of our older magi, they were disappointed that, well, they couldn't come along. But they understood that the trip just might be too grueling for them. After much discussion, five of us magi were selected for the trip. We chose to take along 10 strong servants for assistance and for protection. We hoped that a caravan like this with camels would ensure safety and our travel success. So we took along some of our valuable goods. We didn't even tell the servants about these treasures that we had. After we had gathered all that we needed for the journey, we kissed our wives goodbye and we mounted our camels. Normally, we would have prayed to our God of protection before embarking on such a journey. But we had a strange sense that in some way, the star was watching over us. After a few days of journeying, we left the more populated areas. From then on, we kept a real lookout for any raiders all the rest of the way. We became concerned a few times when we saw other groups approaching us on horse or camel. But they always turned out to be friendly travelers. We were never attacked. At the end of each day, we cared for the animals, and then we would settle down to camp for the night. We used a rotation of night watchmen, one magi and two servants per shift. Along with protection, the magi also had the task of watching the star to ensure that we traveled in the right direction by day. After many weeks of travel, we arrived in Jerusalem. We went to the palace, assuming the great king would be there. At this point, those of us who were magi, we dressed in our formal attire that we had brought along. This worked. We were granted an audience with some royal officials. We learned that a man named Herod was the king of the land. The locals, they called him Herod the Great, although they seemed to say this more out of fear than out of respect. We asked the royal officials, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star, and we have come to worship him." To our surprise, no one knew anything about this. We wondered if we had misinterpreted the sign of the star. It seemed a new king had not been born in Jerusalem. Our inquiry was reported to King Herod. He called his chief priests and teachers of the law together. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Well, they told King Herod that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. They quoted a prophecy from their ancient writings. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." The officials informed us that Bethlehem was a small village a few miles from the city. This was very strange. The king, King Herod, had no knowledge of a new king to be born. Also, Bethlehem was a small, insignificant village. We wondered if our search would really lead us to a Messiah. We'd been so hopeful when we set out. Then Herod, the great king, he called us in for a secret meeting. He questioned us. He asked the exact time that the star had appeared. Well, we told him about the star and how this had led us to Judah. King Herod, he sent us on our way to Bethlehem. He asked that after we find the child, we would come back and report to him. He said so that he too could go and worship the king. We left Jerusalem, and sure enough, the star appeared, and it guided us right to Bethlehem. Oh, we were filled with joy again. We felt that our long search would be rewarded. The star, it stopped right over a certain house, a place where the child was. It didn't look like a house for a king. It was just much like all the other houses, and one of the smaller ones at that. But we had come this far, so we knocked on the door. A man named Joseph came to the door. He and his wife Mary, they welcomed us. Well, they were kind and gracious, and they had a young boy. They told us that his name is Jesus, which means Savior. On entering the house, we fell down before the child. We were overcome with a powerful sense that the infant before us was divine. Even though he was just a child, we worshiped him. From our bags, we took out our most treasured possessions. We presented the child with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We had come to Jerusalem expecting to find a child in a palace, receiving care from many servants and with the best of everything. Yet in spite of the humble surroundings, we knew in our hearts we were witnessing greatness. After we said goodbye to Joseph and Mary, we found a place to stay for the night on the outskirts of Bethlehem. It was our intention that we would see King Herod the following day in Jerusalem. Well, during my sleep, I had a dream. I received a clear message warning us not to go back to Herod. While we woke early, I shared my dream with the others. We packed quickly and we started for home. Well, we took another route, one that avoided going near Jerusalem. We were eager to put some distance between us and King Herod. You know, I began by telling you of my search for truth. God rewarded my quest. I believe the child, Jesus, he is the king. Even though Jesus is just a boy, I believe he is the God that I was looking for. I'm just glad that I had the opportunity to see him. It was just a great joy to give him our gifts. My life has changed. Oh, there's much that I still do not understand. I think, like, what will this boy do? I don't know. But what I do know is that I worship him. Thank you. We've hoped that you've enjoyed these presentations of the different characters, of some of the different characters in the Christmas story. Now, CJ's going to come and have a message, please.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you very much, Pastor Lauren, for the depiction of the story of the wise man or magi that visited Jesus. I would like to show you in hopefully less than 10 minutes how much value magi add to the Christmas story. In our nativity scenes, we have often a few incorrect things displayed. These are understood as artistic freedom of combining the facts. We don't know how many magi were, and they certainly were not at the manger. Lots of Christian denominations think they had names such as Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, because there were three gifts, gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Truth is, we don't know a lot of things. Magi worshiping with the shepherds together probably did not happen. So we don't have a lot of information, 12 verses to go on these very mysterious magi. The evidence from the Bible would be as such, that the star appeared at Jesus' birth. The shepherds came in the night of Jesus' birth to the stable, and the wise men came later, entering a house without shepherds present, according to Matthew 2. After researching and putting together a trek or a caravan, as displayed by Pastor Lauren here, the Magi still had to travel a significant distance, which would have taken several months. Herod's action also proved that when he slayed all the children up to the age of two, that time has passed and he wasn't sure when the child was born. He would have been careful to include a bigger margin, making sure the threat for his throne would be gone. I don't believe the Magi were 2 years late for Jesus' birth, but probably several months, and some scholars believe up to 1 year. Herod had already killed his wife and two sons, and records show of a third infant son dying at the same time. The speculation was that he has seen his youngest son as a threat for his throne, as he had seen his oldest two sons, the reason killing them. Second, we depict the wise men with a crown. They were not kings, though they had influence. Magus, or Magi, were an ancient elite tribe of Zoroastrian priests in Persia, or today Iran. Scholars believe they were highly educated in cosmology, astronomy, and astrology. They knew the prophetic scriptures of the Jews. They also would have traveled in a huge entourage with soldiers protecting them, cooks, slaves, food for the long journey, treasures they would have given to appease Herod, and they gave to Jesus. An impressive number of people. That's also one of the reasons they would have come to Herod first, just to assure and not to pose a threat to him. However, it seems unlikely that they were scared of Herod when they double-crossed him, though they probably knew how cruel he was. The town of Bethlehem would have noticed such present of importance in a town of 2,000 people. What is so special with these wise men, you might ask? I would like to show you how these wise men add to our story, in a contrast to a different wise man. One of the wisest men in the biblical times undoubtedly was Solomon. When we read when he asks for wisdom in 1 Kings 3, verses 9 through 12, is what we read. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. It is interesting how Solomon is so earnest with his request. In the next 8 to 9 chapters, it is filled with wisdom and acts displaying it. We have the Psalms and the Proverbs displaying his wise characteristics. At the peak of his success, in 1 Kings 10, 23 and 24, we read, Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put on his heart. But there is a change, and we know that. So, when we get to 1 Kings 11, the wisdom Solomon teaches, he's not following himself anymore. We read in 11, verses 4 to 6, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father has done. Excuse me. A few facts. Solomon had a total of 1,000 wives, a combination of 300 concubines and 700 wives. We know these were all arranged strategic political alliances. We know that with his marriage to the daughter of the Pharaoh. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the only reason a man would have more than one wife at a time. There's no reason any man would want to have more than one wife at a time. However, the other note is on Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Solomon started worshiping this god. The Ammonites had built a statue. It was a human statue with the head of a wolf. That had built the arms put out. Molech required infant sacrifice. They would light a fire underneath these arms and put their babies onto these arms and would chant to drums to drown the crying of the sizzling babies. God told to annihilate the Ammonites for this idol worshiping, but Israel failed to do that under Joshua. Now, this King Solomon, the wisest man on earth, was deceived by his wives and followed this idol instead of Yahweh, the God of his father David. Solomon is a great example how we can know what is right and still do the wrong thing. The greatest knowledge is useless if you don't apply it. Not the knowledge itself makes you wise, but the use of this knowledge in a positive outcome. Speeding in your car knowing a speed limit is not wise. It'll catch up with you. Coming back to the wise men. The Magi or wise men did see the prophetic scripture. They acknowledged Jesus as a king, and they brought gifts to this king who was not born in a palace or splendor. They acted in a wise manner, especially considering they were listening to the dream, not going back to Herod. Jesus' own elite did not want him, but these Gentiles, these pagans, accepted him. The first Gentiles to worship Jesus. Before Jesus went up to heaven, he extended the mission call to the whole world. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. The Jews had rejected him already from birth to the end of his ministry. He had the wise man believing already at his birth, even before his official ministry started. So what can we learn from these Magi today? Solomon, having wisdom, neglected it by implication offering babies to Molech. The Magi, after discovering the prophecy, did not hesitate and came in a long journey to honor Jesus as king, who later would be the reason for all salvation, including theirs. The first Gentiles believing. And second, the wise men brought significant gifts, symbolizing his deity, kingship, and priesthood. This is not necessarily our reason we bring gifts to children on Christmas. But they were the first ones initiating and acknowledging this long tradition. If I could leave you with this, it would be act wise. We all know what's right and wrong. We sometimes override our own moral compass. And then we act like fools. Solomon, in his peak of wisdom, said once, "A wise person's heart goes to the right, but the fool's heart to the left. Even when the fool walks along the road, his heart lacks sense, and he shows everyone he is a fool." A quote from Anthony Douglas William is, "Knowledge comes from learning, wisdom from living it." The wise men teaching us to live in wisdom, not necessarily only in knowledge. Thank you very much.